original Pothead. And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Monday, November 22nd. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher, and we are here to break down a 10-game NBA slate. It's going to be a tough one. We're hoping some value opens up a little bit later because it is few and far between today. Shout out to Yahoo for being the presenting sponsor of this show. We'll talk about Yahoo in a bit. But before we do anything, as you get in the door, please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. You don't want to miss any of the content. It's going to be a busy week here. Just because we've got Thanksgiving on Thursday doesn't mean we're going away. I mean, the NBA is going away. There are no NBA games, but tons of NFL content coming up on Thursday. So we will be here all week for you. Let's start this show off the same way we usually do. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. Ready to get back to it. I took the night off last night. Didn't play any basketball. Didn't play Sunday night football. So felt like a good break. Ready to dive back in.
I mentioned to you earlier that I'm not going to be playing tonight. I got to go out to dinner with the fam. Apparently, FanDuel was just like, oh, we heard Josh isn't going to play today. We can change up the contest. So the normal slam that they have does not exist. 10K to first on that one, 444 to get in, because they're running the NBA Super Swingman. Adam, I don't know if you've seen this or you're prepared for it, but 15K to get in, 100K up top. So FanDuel's running a more DraftKings-like contest for today, if that is any interest to you.
It is. Yeah. If I had money on the site, but...
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, don't worry. They let you put in $5 a day or whatever, like you're sponsoring someone overseas. It's a shame.
Yeah, I literally...
But I woke up to that, and I was just like, glad I'm not playing, because I'm not playing that.
Yeah, I don't think I can get enough money on in a month to max that tournament.
That's insane.
Just amazing.
Yeah. Especially, like, for a million different reasons, obviously. But, Yeah, that was... Could I play it? Sure. Do I want to play that one? No. Do you want to know why? Because the payout structure is terrible. 100K up top, 25, then 15. It's not ideal. It's a pretty big drop. I like the 30 in second. That makes me feel a little bit better. Just my personal qualms, but that's going to be...
I actually could play it and have $250 left over.
Oh, there you go. Well, I know what your afternoon's going to be now. I assume building out a FanDuel NBA sheet, which I'm guessing isn't prepped yet. You haven't played on FanDuel at all this year, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I play it, I'll have to build that, which is probably why I'll end up not playing it.
Or it's definitely why you'll play it and not be fully prepared to do so. That seems like a more likely tweet. I feel like I get the DM like, all right, I did enter that at 5:45 and I definitely didn't get done everything. So right. I just locked Mo Bamba.
Right. I don't have good FanDuel lineups or DraftKings lineups because I decided to do that.
Yeah. And I played hockey.
Right.
All righty. 10 games here. We got a lot to talk about. I am ready to dive in if you are. We're kicking it off. Brooklyn, 7.5-point favorites in Cleveland, 207.5 total. And we've got a little bit of news for both of these teams. It's going to be a weird one. This is one of the few places where I think we'll see some value. So still no Joe Harris, obviously still no Kyrie Irving, still no Nick Claxton. Bruce Brown is out for this one. Kevin Durant is back on the Brooklyn side for Cleveland. Lauri Markkanen and Jared Allen are both off the injury report. Evan Mobley is going to still be out. And we've got Chetty and Lamar Stevens both doubtful. So on the Brooklyn side, obviously we've got Harden and Durant. I don't think that either one of them look particularly good. Although on FanDuel, I think Harden is fine at 10-1. But these guys are pretty expensive on DraftKings. Patty Mills is getting a little bit of love. Around 15% owned on both sites. He's 4,500 across both. The big piece here is the value piece, and it's a pretty big assumption, although I agree with it. 3,700 on FanDuel, 3,100 on DraftKings for one of the chalkiest plays of the day, DeAndre Bembry. Let's start with the pay-up options. Do you have any particular thoughts for Harden and Durant?
It's just really difficult for me to pay for either one of those guys when they're both playing. There's, you know, especially a slate of this size, there's just going to be other payoff options. Like you were alluding to at the beginning, we don't have a ton of really good value either. So it's kind of difficult to pay up. So clearly, you know, anytime you get Harden or Durant in a lineup, it's fine, but it's really just difficult for me to get to them when they're both playing.
Yeah. So where do you land on DeAndre Bembry, Chuck? Bembry played 41 minutes, I believe, with Kevin Durant out in their last one. He is back, but we're also losing the 30 minutes a game you normally get from Bruce Brown. I gave Bembry 30 minutes. It felt pretty reasonable to me, at which point he's clearly a good point per dollar play.
Yeah, he's just really, really cheap. It's a situation where you're not necessarily expecting him to have a massive game. You know, he can still fail. I mean, he failed last game, but it's just a really, really cheap price tag, especially if more value doesn't open up. It's just, I think it can be difficult to get away because he's so cheap. You know, if you were looking to go a different direction, I think James Johnson would be the most likely candidate to get like more minutes than people are expecting, but even he's at a different price point on DraftKings. He's 4K compared to 3,100 for Bembry. So it's one of those value pieces where I'm not expecting a ton out of him, but right now, at least, he looks pretty necessary just for what he opens up.
Yeah. As it opens up, I'm really curious to see, or if it opens up, but I assume that it does at least a little bit. I'm curious to see where that ownership stands. Like 36% owned on FanDuel. Yikes to me a little bit. Even 27 on DraftKings, where he's only small forward. Like if he had the guard forward eligibility on DK, I would expect it to be that high. I think he's just getting it right now because there's no real alternative. So anxious to see what ends up opening up. Do you see anybody else as viable from Brooklyn?
Patty Mills is okay at 4,500. He's playing big minutes, but you do want to keep in mind that like you don't want to look too much into his production last game because of Durant being out. He's around the 0.75 fantasy point per minute guy with both of these guys in. He's essentially useless in the time that he's on the floor with both players, but around 75% of his minutes should be with one of them on the bench. So Mills looks okay, but not overly concerned about him putting up a score at 4,500 that I have to have. Outside of that, I don't really see a whole lot here.
All righty. Paul Agno asked, wait, why is it tough to get money on FanDuel? State-by-state deposit limits?
Yeah, state-by-state deposit limits and FanDuel not being good about using their discretion to increase them.
Yes. I basically don't run into it ever or have never run into it at FanDuel. I think whatever it is for North Carolina is just like, yeah, bring your money on over. We're good. Yeah. Whereas yours, I know, is like preposterous. But there you go, Paul. All right, nothing else for Brooklyn. Let's go to Cleveland. This one is going to be really difficult to figure out, but there are a couple good plays here. Darius Garland is 6,200 on FanDuel. He's $1,000 more expensive on DraftKings. I think Garland looks really good on FanDuel. We don't know what the impact, though, is going to be for bringing everybody back. I don't know how many minutes Jared Allen is going to play. He's 7,500 on FanDuel and 7,700 on DraftKings. I don't know how many minutes Lauri Markkanen is going to play. He's 6K on FanDuel and 5K on DraftKings. Rubio is still getting about 12% ownership across both sites. Seems reasonable to me. Break down Cleveland because they're in a tricky spot. We have too many question marks, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to have a lot of confidence on how this is going to look. But in general, whenever you get guys coming back, it's going to make it worse for the guys that were already there. So like, I think there's still plays from Cleveland. Like Garland still looks okay at 7,200. His salary didn't elevate that much, but he's not going to look as good. He's playing the more minutes he's playing with Markkanen, he's just not going to look as good. And having more bodies back makes it so like, if he were to go to 34 or 35 minutes instead of 38, he ends up being a little bit overpriced as well. So I think Garland's okay, but do have some concerns with guys coming back. Jared Allen at 7,700, if he's good to go, I think he looks really, really appealing. But you do also have Kevin Love back, who was out for most of the time prior to Allen being out. So, Allen's another one. Does he go from playing 36, 37 minutes back to like 30, in which case he's not a good option? So it's a team where I want to pay a lot of attention to ownership, I think, because there are question marks here that we don't really know the answer to, and we may not get an answer before lock. So if people are projecting Jared Allen to play 36 minutes and look like a really good option, I would like to not really be there because I don't have any confidence that happens. But at the same time, if everyone is like, oh, Jared Allen's only going to play 30 minutes, then I think he becomes kind of interesting in tournaments because I don't really think anybody knows how many minutes he's going to play.
Yeah, I gave him 32. That makes him look better than the ownership is currently showing. And that would be a spot that I would want to be. You started with Garland. I do want to just confirm for everybody else, with him being 6,200 on FanDuel, I assume that would bring you some interest.
Yeah, for sure. Really good price tag there.
Okay. Isaac Okoro on FanDuel, 4,400. If you really need to do that, is also a thing. But we need more information on Cleveland. And luckily, for the 7 o'clock game, we probably should see a little bit of it. I think Markkanen is way less likely to play big minutes than Jared Allen. Yeah. Markkanen has been out since November 1st. He missed 9 games. Allen has only been out for the past 3. So it wouldn't shock me at all if Markkanen was in that like 22 to 28 range and not just immediately going a bit heavier. Anything else here?
No.
All righty. Charlotte at your Washington Wizards. Hornets are 4-point underdogs, 216 total. First up, I guess we can talk a little bit about the Charlotte side. We're just waiting on official news for PJ Washington. He's doubtful. I have him out. He's been out. But he is, I guess, slowly but surely getting closer to coming back. On the Washington side, similar story. We know that what their normal injuries are, Rui, Thomas Bryant. Bertans is questionable. We'll see if he's going to be back. He has also been out for a while. There's basically no ownership coming to Charlotte on DraftKings. 6% owned Mason Plumlee at 4,500 is the highest owned guy. I actually like getting to a little bit more of Charlotte on DK just because they are unowned. LaMelo on FanDuel, where he's only 9K in comparison to the 10-2 price tag he has on DraftKings. That's pulling ownership as it should, but I have some interest in Miles Bridges and Hayward and Rozier on FanDuel because these guys are all like 3% owned.
Yeah, I think it's another situation where if they're going to be low owned, I'm interested. I don't think it's a great spot. Washington's been good defensively this year. They're middle of the pack in pace, and the pricing isn't great, but you still have ceilings on guys. You know, even LaMelo at 10-2, he's expensive, but he's playing a lot of minutes now. He's averaging around 1.4 DraftKings points per minute this year. He's certainly capable of going and getting 60-plus fantasy points in any spot. Miles Bridges is still playing huge minutes. Terry Rozier hasn't been great, and he's typically only playing like 30 to 32 minutes, but only 6K on DraftKings. As long as none of these guys are getting ownership, I do like using them. You can throw Kelly Oubre in there as well. I do like using them as just, you know, a contrarian piece. You know, if you're kind of just going along like Alex's thought process of using basically having, you know, 2/3 of your lineup be chalky and 1/3 not be. These are guys that are perfect low owned plays because they don't project all that well for their salaries, but it's not difficult to see how, you know, Bridges can exceed 8,200 in any given game, or Kelly Oubre playing more minutes off the bench with more usage can exceed 4,400, or LaMelo can have a big game. So as long as the ownership's really low, I do like mixing these guys in.
All righty. I don't have any real preferences for any individual play. Like LaMelo on FanDuel is for sure the best option just because at 9K he's underpriced, or underpriced at least relatively speaking. But Bridges, Hayward, Rozier, Oubre, I can, depending on the salary tier, I see those guys as relatively similar.
Yeah, so do I. It's kind of just, I view them as pretty much the same play. You know, if I need a contrarian guy around 10K, it's LaMelo. If I need a contrarian Ford, it's Bridges. If I need a contrarian 6K guy, it's Rozier. And if I need a contrarian value guy, it's Oubre.
All righty. Switching it up, going over to your Washington Wizards. Not a lot of ownership coming in here. Basically nothing on FanDuel outside of Bradley Beal, who is 8,500. He's at 16% ownership. Gafford pulling a little bit of love. That just sort of scares me. Highest owned guy on DK is either Beal or Gafford at 5%. I don't see a lot from the Wizards on DraftKings. I don't really see a lot from the Wizards on FanDuel. Does that look differently to you?
No, it doesn't. I'd like there to be more because taking guys against Charlotte has typically been pretty fun this season, but the pricing is just, I think, pretty correct. You know, you can certainly get to some Harrell slash Gafford, Gafford in particular at 4,400, but we know how the opportunity cost is at center, especially on a bigger slate. So it's not like it's a priority. Dinwiddie's still priced up from Beal being out. Beal is reasonable, but you know, when Dinwiddie's in, Beal's good, but he's not a must play or anything at that price tag. So I don't really see much from Washington just because the prices are elevated.
It's just not that spot. $8,500 Beal on FanDuel, though, is just always going to be interesting.
Yep.
All right. I don't have anything else here for Charlotte or Washington. I think we can probably move on, and I can tell you guys a little bit about our schedule for the rest of the day. There's a lot. So coming up immediately after this, 11:30 a.m., NFL Strategy Show Recap Edition. Adam will be back breaking down all of the fun stuff that happened on NFL Sunday. We've got the Awesomeo Betting Show at 1 p.m. We've got the Awesomeo Fantasy Football Show at 2 p.m. Those are on our Awesomeo Odds and Awesomeo Fantasy Football channels. We've got the NHL strategy show at 2, the Yahoo specific NFL show at 3. And then we get the NBA pre-show, 4:15. We start this at 4:15. They go for a half an hour leading into the NBA deeper dive, hour and 15 minutes at 4:45. The boss man, Alex Baker, along with Adam, will be back. 6 p.m. NBA Live Before Lock. Not me today, but you will get coverage for an hour. And that leads into NFL Live Before Lock at 7:15. NBA ownership is free today. NFL player rankings are free today. And NHL player rankings are free today. This next stretch of games is pretty crappy. 3 out of the next 4 are just poised to be some ass beatings. Although, just from a math perspective, one of these 3 10-plus point underdogs are probably likely to win outright. Think about that for a second. Oklahoma City, 11-point underdogs in Atlanta, 212 total. On the Oklahoma City side, we have where to go. Too many tabs open today. The biggest piece of news here: Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is questionable. That will have a tremendous trickle down effect, sort of, in that if he doesn't play, no one will have any idea what anyone does for Oklahoma City, because it's just going to be basically 12 crappy dudes fighting over the ball. If we look at the
Josh Giddey would just go nuts, probably.
He would try, that's for sure. Bogdan Bogdanovic, also questionable for Atlanta. We'll start on the Oklahoma City side. Josh Giddey, 6K on FanDuel, 6K on DraftKings, 20% owned already. We do have Shai in these projections, so there's that. After that, I don't really want to try to sift through Oklahoma City. If Shai is out, buckle up. Let's start here. Let's start assuming Shai is in. Is it Giddey and nothing else, or is it Giddey and Shai?
Assuming he's in, I think it's Giddey and Shai. Shai, 7,600 on DraftKings, pretty nice price drop there. Atlanta has not been good defensively this season, so Gilgeous-Alexander would look fine. And then Giddey is just still a pretty appealing option. You can roster a point guard at small forward. He leads the team in assist percentage this year at 31.1%. He's averaging 1.02 DraftKings points per minute. Just looks like a solid option in a pretty good matchup. And gets better if Shai's out.
Alrighty. Is there anything you immediately see if Shai is out? Who gets the biggest benefit? Is that Aaron Wiggins?
I think it's either Ty Jerome or Aaron Wiggins. I don't know who would start, but we have seen Wiggins in the rotation recently. We also do have Trey Mann and Théo Maledon out. So it's not like I'm sure Oklahoma City will still find some way to play 100 guys, but they are missing a couple of other backcourt pieces as well. So I would think that Ty Jerome and Aaron Wiggins are sliding in the more minutes.
Okay. I wish I had more to bring up. If Shai ends up being out, you know, we'll see updates through the deeper dive or through Live Before Lock. Hard to speculate right now. Do you have anything else you want to touch on from Oklahoma City? This one's not going to look good. And if Shai is out, it's going to look so much worse.
Yeah, I mean, last game you got a lot of playing time from Baisley and Dort too. 36 minutes from Dort, 33.5 from Baisley. Those guys do give you a ceiling in tournaments. The issue is that their minutes are inconsistent. You see a game where they play true starters minutes, and then the next time out they play like 32 minutes, or you know, Dort plays 32 and Baisley plays 26. So they are risky, but they're reasonable plays. I would certainly get to Gilgeous-Alexander and Giddey before them though.
All righty, for Atlanta. There's a bunch of ownership coming in here, but not a lot of guys are just truly separating from the pack. Trey Young, John Collins, Kevin Huerter, and Cam Reddish are all about 10% owned on DraftKings. We also have John Collins about 13% owned on FanDuel. Says nothing for Clint Capella, who's 5 to 10% owned. I don't have any individual plays that I want to go like crazy over based on the ownership. I think Kevin Huerter is just simply the easiest guy to get to from the Hawks, shooting guard, small forward, value in a way that we don't really have today. But I will happily play a little bit of Bogdanovic if people are worried about his status. I will happily play $3,600 Cam Reddish as a value option today and cross my fingers. But does anything immediately stand out to you for Atlanta?
I'm with you on Huerter looking like a good value piece. But also, and you mentioned it, right now we have Huerter projected for 11.5% ownership on DraftKings. We have Bogdanovic for $300 more at 2%. Doesn't make a ton of sense to me. You know, like I do prefer Huerter if all things are equal, but I don't think you should have that big of an ownership gap between the two. Bogdanovic certainly hasn't been great this year, but
questionable tag on Bogdanovic might be causing that.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a spot to pay attention to. I think that Herter should be the higher owned of the two, but I don't think it should be by a really wide margin. So I think that's something to pay attention to. I like the salaries on Capella and Collins. You know, I think that they both should have plenty of success in this spot. So yeah, I mean, I like Atlanta in general.
Yeah. Nobody individually, but like this is clearly a spot I'm going to have individual pieces. Let's say this game goes
shots at Gallo and Reddish off the bench too at cheap price tags.
Let's say this game goes the way that most would expect. Is there someone that benefits like no matter what? Is that a Cam Reddish spot where you think that he could play, he could like close in a blowout and get those additional minutes, but still look good if it doesn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he would. He definitely could.
Okay.
Like, I think it would be more likely that he does that than Gallo does that.
Yeah, that I would agree with. It feels like Reddish could fall, like, has the ability to grab a couple extra minutes late in this game in a couple different game scripts, which is interesting enough. And at 3,600, like, I like him just in general. So
yeah, and the most important thing to me is if Reddish is playing well, the minutes are certainly there for him to pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else here for Atlanta?
I think rules-wise, it would make sense to probably just do like max two of Bogdanovich, Herter, Gallo, Reddish.
Yeah. All right. So basically the same way we described this game, we'll describe the next one. The Houston Rockets are 12-point underdogs in Boston, 210 total. For Houston, the only real piece of news that we have to worry about is a Q tag on Kevin Porter. He has missed the past two games. I do have him in this spot. For Boston, everybody's back. Jaylen Brown, probable. Robert Williams, probable. Schroeder, Romeo Langford. Appears we have a full-strength Boston Celtics team. On the Houston side, Christian Wood's getting a little bit of love on FanDuel, 16% owned. He is 7,200 with forward and center eligibility. No one else is really pulling any ownership. I'm certainly interested in Kevin Porter at 6K or 5,900 if he happens to be in. I don't know what else I really want to do in this one. I mean, you know, Christian Wood's always obviously fine. Jalen Green has been pretty bad. Do you like Houston here?
I always like Houston in tournaments when they're low owned. And right now we have them projected to be low owned. The reason I like them in tournaments is there's definitely risk, right? Like they're 11 point dogs. There's a good chance that the fourth quarter in this game does not exist from a fantasy standpoint. But if it does, we know that Houston plays their main guys a ton of minutes. And the spread here just drives people away. So, you know, Christian Wood at 7,600, if he doesn't play the fourth quarter, yeah, he's most likely going to fail. But if Christian Wood plays well and helps keep this game close, he's going to play 36 or 37 minutes at low ownership. Same can be said for Porter if he plays at 5,900, Jalen Green at 4,700. All of these guys, if the game is close, are likely to play a ton of minutes. And if they play well, it's, you know, more likely that the game stays close. So it's kind of a situation where, you know, they're not completely in control of it, but it's one of those situations that we like where if your guy is playing well, it makes it more likely he plays more minutes. And if he's not playing well, it doesn't matter because your lineup's trash anyway. So I do like getting to these guys as long as they're low owned. If the ownership were to come up between now and lock, then, you know, certainly happy to get away from the Rockets with a 101 total. But I just think that there's a pretty high ceiling for the salary on a lot of these guys.
I am with you. The Porter news will be very interesting. We saw Eric Gordon play 39 and 37 minutes over the past two games without Porter. I assume we get 32 to 34 as just a very quick baseline if Porter ends up out, at which point Gordon is 5,100 on FanDuel and 5K on DraftKings. He'll look quite a bit better than he does now if you assume Porter is in. Then we move to Boston, and they are now going to be integrating Jaylen Brown again. We've seen Tatum have some pretty big games as of late. He's about 6% owned across both sites. Jaylen Brown is 8,300, 9,600 on DraftKings. I can imagine you'll have precisely zero shares of Jaylen Brown in this comeback matchup at that price tag. Marcus Smart is the highest owned Celtic on DK at 11%. Al Horford is the highest owned Celtic on FanDuel at 20% ownership. I don't totally see that. I don't have a lot of interest in Boston today.
Yeah, I don't have too much either. You know, Brown coming back certainly cuts into people's production. Robert Williams being probable makes Horford a little bit riskier. So, I mean, it's still a good matchup against Houston. I still think that there's a ceiling on guys like Williams or Smart or Horford. But, you know, adding all of these minutes back into the rotation and then also adding Jaylen Brown's usage and just, you know, general production back in makes it so like if Brown were out, I guess this would be like the most popular team on the slate, probably.
Yeah.
With Brown in, I think that they're still, you know, kind of good spots to get to in tournaments because it is a good matchup. They have a 112 total, but they're more correctly priced.
Okay. I don't have anything else to talk about from Boston.
Me neither. Just it's a good spot.
Yeah.
But the guys coming back just makes it a little bit less appealing than it would have been.
All righty. Indiana, 3.5-point underdogs in Chicago for the Pacers side of this one. We got everybody in except for TJ Warren, and we know he's been back. We have the opposite side of this game for Chicago, a little bit different. Just still no Vooch. Otherwise, everybody is in. So for the Pacers side, Malcolm Brogdon is underpriced on DraftKings. He is 7,300. He's pulled 20% ownership. I think that is largely warranted. After that, though, Sabonis, Brogdon, Turner, LeVert, I think they're the only four guys that you can play here. I've been getting a little bit more LeVert than anybody else of this group lately. That's probably where I would lean now. But mostly it's just Brogdon's price on DraftKings stands out. Any one of those other four guys can work in a lineup. No real priorities.
Yeah, the salary for Brogdon on DraftKings stands out for sure. So Brogdon, LeVert, and Sabonis have played six games together now. Brogdon's averaged 1.06 DraftKings points per minute, 24.1% usage rate. So it's down, you know, from when LeVert was out, as you would expect, but still plenty of usage, a 28.1% assist percentage as well. LeVert in those games is at 0.92 DraftKings points per minute. He does have a 26.1% usage rate, though. So, you know, certainly still upside for him. But he, you know, needs to shoot well because the assist numbers go down with Brogdon out there, as you would expect. And then Sabonis finally had a good game or two recently, but 1.14 DraftKings points per minute in the games that he's played with LeVert and with Brogdon. He's really expensive. So 8,700, I think, is still pretty difficult to get to for Sabonis. But Brogdon at 7,300 looks good. LeVert in tournaments at 6K is fine. Miles Turner is pretty much always fine, just given, you know, the volatility in his game.
What do we expect for Chris Duarte's minutes? I don't necessarily mean like today, but he's been back for two games, played 14 in the first one, 23 in the second one. No one played big minutes in either one of those games. So I don't want to look at it like that, but do you expect him to get back to that 30 plus range that he was at before the injury?
I've typically been projecting like 27, 28.
Okay. I have 28 in there right now, which makes him largely uninteresting, but you know, he was playing massive minutes for a stretch.
Yeah, but like you assume his production is going to drop off too. Like he's clearly the last guy out of, you know, their main five.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's played four games with Sabonis, LeVert, and Brogdon. 16% usage rate, 8% rebounding percentage, 8% assist percentage, 0.72 DraftKings points per minute.
Not good.
No.
For the Bulls, some of this is fun to look at. I love this Bulls team on FanDuel. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Alex Caruso are all 15 to 20% owned. Not as much on DraftKings. These guys' prices aren't as good. Like DeRozan is shooting guard, small forward eligible on FanDuel, 8,600. He's just power forward eligible on DraftKings at 9,100. Honestly, he should probably be power forward center of anything right now, given the way that the Bulls have been running these rotations. LaVine is 8K on FanDuel, amazing price for him. 9K on DraftKings, I still think that's okay. Lonzo is 6,700 on FanDuel, under 10% owned. I really like him as a GPP option. 5,400 and 5,200 for Caruso. All four of those guys seem pretty good to me on FanDuel, a little bit less so on DK. How you feel about the Bulls?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that LaVine and DeRozan both offer really high ceilings. Like they're expensive, but in the games without Vooch, LaVine has about a 32.5% usage rate. DeRozan's a little over 30% as well. LaVine at 1.14 DraftKings points per minute. DeRozan's at 1.21. And you're getting plenty of minutes from these guys. So they still look pretty good, even though the prices have come up. Lonzo, he gives you a ceiling because of how many minutes he plays. My concern is that the rates haven't really changed for him. So yeah. It's kind of just the same play he's been, you know, like you just need him to shoot well, basically. You need him to be efficient. He gives you a ceiling because of the minutes, but you're not looking at him saying, oh, he's going to go from a 17% usage guy to 22% without Vooch or anything, because that hasn't been the case. Caruso, you know, kind of the same thing, going to be a low usage guy, but play a lot of minutes. So he's fine, but LaVine and DeRozan are the two that really stand out. Tony Bradley's still 3,300. He's just really difficult to roster with any sort of confidence, because Chicago has been more than willing to run these small lineups out there pretty much every chance that they get. You know, you are playing against a bigger front court in Turner and Sabonis here, but that just hasn't really been something they seem to care about. So we've typically been seeing, you know, Bradley in that 20 minute range, and they're just more than happy to run small lineups regardless of who they're playing against.
It is incredible that DeMar DeRozan is playing center minutes for any basketball team at this point, unless it's like the big three.
Coming into the season, there were so many people that if you told them, one, DeRozan was playing really, really well, and two, he was a center, would just like not know what was happening.
No, and it's I still don't know what's happening. It's crazy to me. Anyway, go Bulls, I guess. We're not getting to like Derek Jones or Devontae Green or Dosunmu or anything like that, right?
I'm not planning on it, no.
I guess I would say this is something that we should slowly start to point out. Coby White played 21 minutes the last time out. 3,900 on FanDuel could have worked. He's 4,900 on DraftKings. I didn't know if he was just going to have like some sub 4K price tag where it's like, oh, one of these days, Coby White's just going to fall into the 24 minutes or something and they start really bumping up his minutes. It won't even matter because 4,900, he needs all 30.
Yeah. In general, though, do pay attention to that because his salary is slowly coming down on DraftKings. When he first came back, I don't remember what he was, but he was more than he is now. So you could actually kind of get an intersection at some point in the near future where, like, we see him play, you know, 24 minutes, 25 minutes the game before, and that coincides with his salary hitting like 4,200 or something. So not a play for me on DraftKings today, but just in general, do keep an eye on Coby White's price and playing time.
There we go. Let's talk at least a little bit about the presenting sponsor of this show. That would be Yahoo Fantasy. And you guys have heard me say it before, but we've got a really good deal here. You can get 1 month free of Osmo Plus Platinum by simply just signing up at Yahoo. If you're new to Yahoo, signing up for Yahoo using the link in the description of this video. All you have to do is click that link, make a deposit, and play. That is it. Yahoo will then send us your username. We will then reach out to you with a coupon code so that you can redeem your free month. You can email support@osmo.com if you need a little bit of help faster than that. You can also claim $10 free below, which can be used to enter any Yahoo contest. We've got DFS tools and projections specifically designed for Yahoo to give you your best shot. They run the $1 million baller for the NFL each week with this past Sunday was $200,000 of guaranteed overlay. It's the best contest you're going to find each Sunday for sure in the NFL, and probably the best contest you'll find all week that you can enter in any sport. So don't sleep on it. Make sure you're going to play at Yahoo and get yourself a free month of Osmo Plus while you do it. Orlando Magic. This is the third of the three games that I said were going to be just stink bombs, although there's more here for Orlando. Magic are 12.5-point underdogs in Milwaukee, 215.5 total. Big piece of information for Orlando. I mean, we know that there's like a perpetual Q tag on Gary Harris, but the big piece here, Cole Anthony is questionable. That will have a major effect on the rest of the Magic in terms of usage, minutes, etc. For Milwaukee, no Brook Lopez, no Dante DiVincenzo, no Semi Ojeleye as well. So we'll start on the Orlando side. Wendell Carter Jr., the most popular guy across both sites, 20% owned on FanDuel at 5,800, 17 on DraftKings at 5,700. Franz Wagner is the highest owned play on DK at 4,100. That's just a testament to how little value is really out there today. I will happily play Cole Anthony if he is in. I happily play Cole Anthony pretty regularly anyway. Jalen Suggs, Adams boy at 5K, is at 10% ownership. Unfortunately, I think we got to play a decent amount of Orlando against Milwaukee today. And if Cole Anthony ends up out, we probably play more than a decent amount.
Yeah, this is similar to the Rockets for me, where it's a team that I just end up rostering a good amount in tournaments, even though they suck. I think the big difference between them and the Rockets today is the ownership, potentially. You know, obviously, if Cole Anthony is out, then these guys all look a lot better. But like, if Cole Anthony is in, I think Suggs is still a good play at 5K. I think Wagner's a good play at 4,100. I think Carter's a good play at 5,700. But these guys are all getting a lot of ownership compared to that Houston team that, for all intents and purposes, is in the same spot and getting virtually no ownership. So I do think, you know, that paying attention to the ownership on Orlando versus Houston is really, really interesting going forward today. But ownership aside, I do think that they're just underpriced. Jalen Suggs, he was down to 3,800, 3,900. I thought that was wildly underpriced. He's at 5K now, assuming Anthony is in. He's certainly capable of failing here, but if he plays well, you can still expect him to play around 30 minutes. We know that the opportunities have been there for him this year, so I'm still fine getting to him. I think Wendell Carter Jr. is underpriced at 5,700. There's still plenty of volatility there because you have foul trouble concerns. You have some games where Bamba closes over him. You certainly have blowout risk here. So it's not that he's quote-unquote safe, but his salary mitigates a lot of those risks. I'm with you. Getting Nicole Anthony is always pretty appealing. Terrence Ross at 3,700. He's been playing more minutes, and most importantly, he's been shooting a lot. I don't really know. You weren't on the show the other day when I brought it up, so I don't know if you have an answer, but you and I had talked a while ago about like what's going to happen with Terrence Ross, because he was carrying like a 17% usage rate. And so it was just like, are they just going to eventually cut him from the rotation? Because it seems like they've told him not to shoot, or is he going to get back to being the Terrence Ross of old? And he's gotten back to being the Terrence Ross of old. He's out there just chucking up shots, which at 3,700 gives you a pretty nice ceiling in tournaments. So I don't really know what changed, but it's kind of crazy. Like if you look at his game logs, it just goes from, you know, like 5 field goal attempts, 6 field goal attempts, 7 field goal attempts to like 14, 15, 16. It's like somebody flipped a switch on him.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe out of shape or something coming into the season, didn't give as many shits because he knew what kind of team he was on and they were telling him he wasn't going to get the same sort of run. But I don't expect Terrence Ross to be on the Magic by the time the season ends. He's either going to be himself and be gunning the entire time or just not be a part of the rotation. My expectation that he's just simply somewhere else. You know, you offload him for a second round pick or something to a team that needs some bench scoring. He is totally useless to the Orlando Magic. So we'll see where that actually ends up. But at 3,700, if he's 1.5% owned, I am very interested in Terrence Ross.
Yeah, for sure. And also one spot to pay attention to as well, I think it's just a spot that I want to be on kind of before it becomes popular, is Chuma Okeke. 3,400. We've seen the playing time kind of increasing for him. You know, obviously last game Anthony was out, but he's just someone that it makes sense for Orlando to be playing more minutes going forward. He does a lot of things well when he's on the floor. So I guess not really like a DFS play for tonight necessarily, outside of, you know, maybe a little bit in 150 max, but he is someone that I'm just trying to keep an eye on, you know, going forward, because I think that, you know, 2 weeks from now, for example, you could certainly have Chuma Okeke in a much bigger role than he's had so far.
On the Milwaukee side of this game, we've got Giannis at 11.7 on FanDuel, 12K on DraftKings. No real ownership coming to anything on Milwaukee. I think you could really only be getting to Giannis, Drew, Middleton, and Portis. Speaking of Portis, he's 37% owned on FanDuel today. Power forward center eligible, 6,300. Look, I like Bobby Portis and all. 37 feels a tad high for this slate size. We'll see where we end up as we get closer to lock, but he probably might be, I mean, not even probably, he is my favorite play of anybody on Milwaukee for today. 37 just feels a little bit rich. What do you want to do with Milwaukee, and can we get to Giannis right now?
I mean, you can always get to Giannis. You're not going to feel great about it, but I mean, you do have probably $3,100 Bembry. You know, you can use $3,700 Ross or something like that. Like, you can still get to him, but you know, I do think that he's priced close to correctly. You don't have Jokic on the slate, so that always makes Giannis look a little bit better, just because you don't have to compare him to the one player who's been better from a fantasy standpoint. So you know, certainly happy to get to Giannis, but it also comes down to, you know, how much value opens up, because you do have a lot of really good mid-range plays that offer a high ceiling.
Any Drew Holiday or Middleton for you?
They're fine. Holiday only played 30 minutes last game, but typically you've been getting him back in that 35, 36 minute range. Last game was kind of weird because like he closed, but it was a game where the Bucks were up by like 30 points midway through the third quarter, and then Orlando went on a run late, and so Holiday came back in. I don't want to read too much into those minutes though, because I think it was basically Milwaukee took their foot off the gas, and then Orlando made the run, and so he had to come back. But if this game were competitive, you know, start to finish, you're still getting 35 minutes or so from Drew.
Thoughts on 37% owned Bobby Portis on FanDuel?
What'd you say his salary was there?
63.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good play. Anytime a mid-range guy gets the 30s, you know, mid-30s ownership, and it's not because of someone being out, I typically find alternatives, just because, and this sort of goes back to what, like, you can tie like DeAndre Bembry, for example, into this as well. But it goes back to, typically when you get high owned, very inexpensive guys, I'm more willing to just eat that than I am really high owned mid-range guys. Assuming that, you know, again, it's a situation where their teammates are playing. You know, it's different if Giannis is out or something, but there's more players priced around Bobby Portis that are capable of beating Bobby Portis than there are, you know, 3K players that are capable of playing 30 plus minutes tonight.
We're on the exact same page here. Not that I don't like him, and he's certainly in cash considerations on FanDuel given the availabilities, but tough sell for me right now with that ownership in a GPP, especially if you're playing maybe on a day like today, but like in large field stuff, I think you're just going to have an easier time getting to an opposite side of that. Anything else here from Milwaukee?
Nope.
Minnesota Timberwolves, 2.5 point favorites in New Orleans. Lots to go for on this one. On the Minnesota side, Q tag on Naz Reid, Q tag on Josh Okogie. On the Pelican side, Q tag on Devontae Graham. I have all of these guys in for right now. Ownership is coming in chunks. No one's touching Towns on FanDuel, but at 9,500 on DraftKings, he's at 12%. I think that makes sense. I think Anthony Edwards is the best play in this game across both sites, 7,900 and 7,400. Don't sleep on D'Angelo Russell, 7,400 and 7,600. And then Patrick Beverley at 5K on FanDuel is around 16% owned. All those guys seem pretty good to me. I think Edwards and Russell are my two preferred, but I have at least a little bit of interest in Jared Vanderbilt, 4,500 on FanDuel, 4,200 on DK, not pulling any ownership at all.
Yeah, kind of surprised by that. 4,200 is a reasonable price tag. When he's been able to avoid foul trouble, you're getting, you know, mid to upper 20s from Vanderbilt. The rotations have been good. It's just that he's in foul trouble a lot and certainly could be again tonight, but he's not a bad fantasy producer. He's not, and he's playing well this season from, you know, an actual basketball standpoint too, which makes it easier for Minnesota to, you know, want him to be on the floor. So I'm with you. If the ownership stays low, you know, he's 0.91 DraftKings points per minute so far this year, only a 12.2% usage rate, but he has a 17.6% rebounding percentage, actually leads the team in that category. And so it's, you know, he's a pretty productive player. He's cheap. He's volatile. You know, the playing time is hit or miss, but at no ownership and a cheap price tag, that's pretty appealing to me.
How do you sift through the Minnesota legits? Where do you land on the Towns, Edwards, Russell trio?
Edwards and Russell, I think, are just easier to get into lineups given their, you know, positional eligibility. I do think that right now the ownership between Edwards and Russell is pretty interesting. I think Edwards is the better play of the two, but again, he's getting double the ownership as Russell. I don't necessarily think that is necessary. So that's a spot, you know, just to keep an eye on. Towns getting 12% makes sense to me at 9,500. Salaries come down a little bit. You don't have Jokic taking a center spot essentially away from you. So Towns looks good as well. I think Russell and Edwards just a little bit easier to get into lineups probably.
Anybody else we need to be talking about here?
Pat Bev is fine. His price tag's slowly creeping up, but the minutes have been good. The production's been good.
All right. On the New Orleans side, lots of ownership coming in here, lots to talk about. But it's three people and that's about it. Well, if Devontae Graham is in, that changes it a little bit. But Ingram is 20% owned across FanDuel and DraftKings. He's got guard forward eligibility too on DK, which is massive. Josh Hart, one of my favorite plays of the day, including being the number one contender in the contenders video, is 5,300 on FanDuel, 39% owned, 21% on DraftKings. And then Joval, 21% owned on FanDuel at 8K, 10% owned at 8,900 on DK. Plus a little tiny bit of ownership going to Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Whether Graham is in or not, I don't think it matters to me in general. I like getting to Ingram, Hart, and Joval on FanDuel or on DraftKings for that matter. If Graham is in, I think at 5,600, that's still an interesting price for him on FanDuel. I like the Pelicans a lot more than I want to.
Yeah, it's never a good feeling, but pretty appealing pricing here. Valanciunas' salary starting to come back down a little bit. Makes him look pretty good because it's not that he's bad by any stretch with Ingram in. It's just that his rates are cut into a little bit, but still 11 games with Brandon Ingram this year, 1.25 DraftKings points per minute. You're getting big minutes still in competitive games. So Joval, I think, still looks like a good option. Brandon Ingram is playing normal minutes now. He's got about a 30% usage rate this year, if I remember correctly, pulling that up now. But he's, you know, clearly the number one guy in this offense. 30.9% usage rate, 1.08 DraftKings points per minute. So he looks good. Josh Hart is interesting to me. Like, I think he's a good play. He's been productive this year. He's averaged 0.89 DraftKings points per minute. He's playing huge minutes in competitive games. I think he's a very good play. The reason I'm kind of interested or kind of wary, I guess, is we have him projected for 21% ownership, which I think is fine, but it's still, you know, there's going to be alternatives. He was 41% owned the other night. It kind of just seems like he's becoming one of these guys that at this current price tag is just getting pushed up because he's in like every optimal lineup sort of thing. So like he was cash game chalk, but then, you know, just ended up getting a insane amount of ownership the other night. So I am kind of wary of Josh Hart, just thinking that, you know, maybe his ownership comes in a little bit higher than he's projected for one reason or another, but ownership aside, very clearly a good option.
Are you looking at anything else for the Bells?
Graham and or Alexander Walker in tournaments are fine, but
yeah,
I think the priorities are Valanciunas, Ingram, and Hart.
All right. Same page. Wait, one, two, three. I'm all over the place in terms of where we're at for this one. Three games to go. We got plenty of time to do it. So that's pretty good. I might be able to get you an extra 5 minutes or so at the end of this bad boy. Phoenix Suns, 6-point favorites in San Antonio, 218 total. Adam, before we started this season, if I said Phoenix and San Antonio were playing, where would your guess be from a pace perspective? Would you be assuming that these two teams are in the bottom half?
Yes.
Phoenix is sixth this season. San Antonio is fourth in pace. They are the exact opposite of what I ever would have expected from both of these teams. So what would have been a slog to me is apparently going to be a track meet. Phoenix, not a lot to talk about here. I think Chris Paul, or Devin Booker rather, is underpriced on FanDuel at 7,900. He's 8,600 on DraftKings. I promise you, if Devin Booker is 5,900 and he's not in every one of your lineups, you should quit immediately. You're just wrong. And then DeAndre Ayton, 7,100 on DraftKings, is 20% owned. I think both of those guys should be getting more ownership at those particular salaries. And then everybody else is sort of just in the normal bucket of, yes, the guys that play the most minutes can show up in lineups, no priorities.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well. I think Ayton's salary really stands out at 7,100. You still have the opportunity cost of the center position, but assuming this game's competitive and you're going to get like, you know, 31, 32 minutes at least from Ayton, he's going to look like a good option there. Booker and Paul are slowly becoming a little bit less expensive, so they're starting to look a little bit better. But like you said, it's more so there's just obviously a ton of guards in the 8 to 9K price range every slate basically, so they don't really stand out, but certainly can get right to them. Ayton looks like the priority to me though.
Okay, yeah, on DraftKings I think it's very clearly Ayton as well. For Phoenix, there's no injury news to really worry about. Abdel Nader is questionable and we know Kaminsky is going to be out for an extended amount of time. For San Antonio, no additional news. Let's go to that San Antonio Spurs team where I think we have a ton of question marks, but one thing that's not a question mark, Jakob Poeltl came back on the 18th, which, by the way, they didn't play Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. That incredible weekend off for the San Antonio Spurs. I'm sure they were very happy about it. Even Jakob Poeltl being back for 15 minutes had no problem basically removing Thad Young from the rotation. He played 4 minutes. So there's that.
That's so weird to me.
I don't understand it at all. Why acquire him?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's weird.
I think there's a way where you can acquire a first round pick for Thad Young before this season started. And now they're going to remove all of his value in its entirety by the time they get to the trade deadline.
Like, I get wanting to play Walker and Vassell. But yeah, it's just, it's weird to me.
It makes zero sense. If Thad Young is on the Spurs after the trade deadline, I will legitimately not understand what the San Antonio Spurs front office is doing.
Who's more likely to still be on their team, Terrence Ross or Thaddeus Young?
Thaddeus Young. And I don't even think it's close.
Yeah.
The San Antonio Spurs don't make in-season trades. I believe they made some like generic second round swap bullshit at the end of at the trade deadline last year. It was the first time that they had traded anybody in season in like 10 years. Like, they legitimately just don't do anything during the season. And that trade was like Nazi Muhammad in like a salary swap for a generic pick. They don't do any of that stuff. So that's what makes it really crazy. Like, even just them doing that offseason deal and acquiring Thad Young is very outside the wheelhouse of the San Antonio Spurs. Let's talk about the Spurs, though. Murray, 9,200 on DraftKings, is the highest owned guy at 10%. Derek White at 5K on FanDuel is the highest owned FanDuel guy at 15%. No one else stands out to me. I find this team very difficult to roster because you know what you're going to get out of Murray from a minutes perspective. And then after that, I'm not really confident in anyone's minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at as well. I think that Murray looks good at 9,200, kind of similar to Bradley Beal for me, where if he ends up in some lineups, that's good. I think he looks a little bit better than Beal, but the point being, you know, that it's a loaded position and price range. So typically guys don't really stand out there when their teams are fully healthy, but Murray has been great this year, 1.3 DraftKings points per minute, likely to play 35, 36 minutes, assuming this game's competitive. Derek White's cheap. He hasn't been very good this season from a fantasy standpoint. DeJounte Murray's breakout seems to have cut into Derek White's production, which isn't really surprising. But you know, he's still cheap at 4,900. So I don't hate that play. Just not really in love with it. I think that looking to Lonnie Walker at 3,900 off the bench in large field tournaments makes some sense, assuming he's not going to get much ownership. Like if better value doesn't open up as the day goes on, those are the kind of plays that I like making in tournaments. Just, you know, everybody's going to load up, you know, on Bembry or, you know, some of these other just cheap guys that aren't very good. Lonnie Walker can easily beat those guys any given night.
Oh my God. How far away is this time? I'm looking up transactions for the Spurs now, and you get into some really weird stuff. They swapped out, like they took on Marquise Chris's money from Golden State in March to, you know, Chris was out at that point for Katie Lalani, which I don't even know if I'm saying that person's name right. So that was a fake deal. The next time I get to a transaction in season, it doesn't have a year on it on SpotTrack, but it's Kurt Thomas traded for Francisco Ellison and Brent Berry. That can't be recent. So Steve Smith for Steve Kerr is listed on this list on SpotTrack. They don't do this ever. So get comfortable in San Antonio, Thad. Anything else for the Spurs?
No, I just saw Gilbert Arenas's Instagram post from last night.
Did you read all of it?
I'm attempting to. I think it's gonna have to wait until after the show, though.
Yeah, it's pretty long. It's good. It's really good. He references everything, including his gun stuff. It's a good time. I love Gilbert Arenas. Anything else here for Phoenix or San Antonio?
No.
Okay. All righty. Let's talk a little bit about a promo code. It is the Thanksgiving season. I will be able to do this read long enough for Adam to read all about Gilbert Arenas' Instagram post. So use the promo code STUFFING. This is one of our Black Friday deals. You can get an NFL Express weekly pass for $1 using that promo code STUFFING. This package includes our player rankings, ownership rankings, everything we have to offer for NFL Showdown and our single game contest. You also get premium tools and data for our fantasy football and our season-long fantasy football and tiers contests on DraftKings. Again, this is a promo code STUFFING. You can see it on the screen. It's our most expansive NFL Express Pass ever for one single dollar. Click the link in the description of this video. This ends on Friday. Stop guessing. Start winning. Join Osimo Plus today. Did I take long enough for you, Adam?
No, I just got to the attempted murder part.
Yeah. super normal Instagram post there for one Gilbert Arenas.
I miss that guy. I wish he had stayed healthy.
Me too. He was good. He was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he got me he got me back into watching basketball.
Yeah, I think people sleep on how good he actually was. The Memphis Grizzlies are 10-point dogs in Utah, which is kind of wild to me. Did not expect that number to be as big as it is. 220 total. On the Memphis side, no D'Anthony Melton, no Dylan Brooks opens up a lot of weird stuff for Memphis. These guys are wildly overpriced on FanDuel and basically not owned at all, except for Kyle Anderson at 5K, getting 21% ownership. Kyle Anderson is also 4,400 on DK, 20% owned. Seems like a guy you want to get to. I think his minutes floor is pretty high now with both of those guys out. But Ja's getting a little bit of love. Desmond Bane's around 10% owned. Jaren Jackson's around 10% owned. Steven Adams, Brandon Clark at 3,200. Where are you going for Memphis here with no Brooks and no Melton?
Yeah, it opens up a lot. You know, the matchup obviously is difficult in Utah. Ja Morant, you expect his usage rate to go up with Dylan Brooks out. He was absolute garbage in their last game, but we've seen, you know, the level that he's producing at this year before Brooks came back. So I think he's got a really high ceiling, but, you know, again, it is a difficult matchup at Utah. I think where I'm the most comfortable going is to the cheaper wings that are likely to take on more minutes. 4,400 for Kyle Anderson. I mean, that would be a reasonable value even if Brooks and Melton were in. So I think he really stands out as a strong value. Certainly somebody where if the ownership does get really aggressive on him, you can still pivot away. You know, it's still a decent but not great fantasy producer in a tough matchup. But I think from a point per hour standpoint, he looks really, really good. Desmond Bane likely to play a bunch of minutes, get a bunch or get some more usage. We know that early in the year, he was his usage rate was north of 20%. He's been down to about 16, 17% when Brooks plays. So Brooks being out should benefit him as well. You potentially get some Brandon Clark. He played about 18 minutes last game. That game was a blowout, so we don't know what the closing rotation would have looked like. But Clark coming in at 3,200, I think, is a reasonable value. Steven Adams at 4,300. Like, there's a lot of value here. It's just a scary spot, but some really cheap guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Tricky one altogether. I'm happy that the pricing on FanDuel isn't all that advantageous. That helps out a bit.
I will say this is another situation where, like, I throw them into the Orlando and Houston conversation, right? Like, I understand why Memphis is getting ownership. I think they're very good plays. I think they offer a lot of value. I think that Houston has, like, all the same risks that Memphis does and that Orlando does. And it just kind of seems like Houston is the only team that we're projecting people to care about those risks.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, this could break a couple different ways for Memphis. Are you assuming, I don't know if you said it, so apologies if you don't, but are you assuming Kyle Anderson just starts here?
Yeah, he started last game, and that was what I expected, so I'm assuming he starts again.
All right, just checking. Anything else for Memphis?
Nope.
On the Utah Jazz side, I know that Adam and I will be playing quite a bit of Donovan Mitchell, 8,300 and 8,500. I think he looks very clearly like the best play from the Jazz, and we like him even in general. Rudy Gobert, I think, looks pretty good, 8,300 across both sites. He's 10 to 15% owned. Mike Conley, probably my third choice here. And then you can start cycling through the rest of these Utah guys like you normally do. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I mean, Mitchell and Gobert look really good. I think they are both just really, really solid options at these price points. The only, like, negative on Mitchell is that he doesn't typically play quite as many minutes as guards that are priced around them, but he's a 1.3 DraftKings point per minute guy this year. He's producing at the same level as, you know, your DeJounte Murray type guys that are more expensive. So him playing a couple minutes less isn't that big of a deal. Gobert also 1.3 DraftKings points per minute this year, so he looks good. And then, yeah, the rest is kind of just they're there. You know, 5,700 for Conley is fine. Rudy Gay has played 17 or 18 minutes in the two games since he returned. He's 3,400. I don't mind that as like a pivot to DeAndre Bembry. Clearly, you're getting way more minutes for Bembry, or you're expecting to at least, but the level of production from Gay is likely to drastically exceed Bembry on a per minute basis. So don't mind, you know, using him as a low owned guy in some tournament lineups.
I know this is just totally random, but I'm asking you anyway. Oklahoma City, Houston, Orlando, Memphis, all 10 point dogs or bigger for today. One of them is expected to win outright. Who does it?
What do you mean one's expected to win outright?
Well, you know, like, they're all like 75-25 games in the aggregate. Okay. You expect one of those teams to pick up a win. Someone's going to look like one of those teams is just going to win a game today in a game where they're double-digit underdogs, and people are going to freak out.
Okay, see.
Yeah. It's all so gross. I could see it being Houston. Boston just brings like Jaylen Brown back. Nothing clicks. They can't make a mid-range bucket to save their life. And like, it's the one good Houston. Like, Jaylen Green actually makes a couple shots. First four answers here. Houston, Memphis, Houston. Oh, not OKC with Shea. Got it. Yeah, Mark Perry says they're all going to lose, so stop it. Yeah, that's not how math works.
I went OKC just because Atlanta struggles defensively. I think that Milwaukee is just clearly on another tier. Utah, I'm not going against that one.
Right.
Houston, I think, is just like exceptionally bad, whereas OKC is like really bad. So, yeah.
That's where it just gets tricky. We'll get people talking, you know, you're talking about like projecting owner or blowouts and stuff. It's like four of them here today. Like, not even should we not project a blowout. We should expect one of them to win this game outright. And that changes the entire scope of the slate if you get that one right. I don't think that there's anything you can do to like plan accordingly for it, but it's why you don't project for the opposite.
Right. And I mean, like, it's all relative too, right? Like if you're, I think it's fine to, you know, take a minute or two off of like Christian Wood, you know, like I'm probably not going to project him for 37 minutes or something, but
right.
You need to do it for all these teams too. And so that's kind of why I've pointed it out that, you know, you have ownership going to Memphis, you have ownership going to OKC, you have ownership going to whoever the other team was that I'm drawing a blank on, Orlando. I don't understand why like Houston's just not getting any.
No idea. That's the team I'm going with, though. And now we are closing it out. Philadelphia 76ers, 2.5-point dogs in Sacramento for Philly. Q-tag on Tobias Harris. We still have no Joel Embiid. Obviously, we have no Ben Simmons, no Danny Green. At least Matisse Thybulle is back. On the Sacramento side, get ready for a big old shrug because Luke Walton is going to be out for rest purposes today and for the rest of the season. We have no idea what's going to happen there. We'll talk about them in a second. Let's start with Philly. Tobias Harris, 25% owned on FanDuel at 7,500. Yes, you should be jamming Tobias Harris in. Tyrese Maxey continues to get no ownership whatsoever. 8,100 on FanDuel, 7,400 on DraftKings. I think he's a fantastic GPP option. George Niang and Seth Curry are both around 15% owned on DraftKings. Andre Drummond is 7,400 on FanDuel, 7,800 on DraftKings, and unowned. I find that interesting. I have no idea how many minutes he's going to play. I think there's a lot of very interesting pieces for Philly today.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Drummond's playing time has sort of been all over the place lately. He hasn't really produced at a high level either, which, you know, could be why his playing time has been all over the place. But, you know, I think the pieces that stand out, Harris, if he does play, he's listed as questionable. But assuming he does play, he looks good. He's 8,100. He sees increased usage without Joel Embiid, as you would expect. I think Curry at 4,900, Niang at 4,200 are both solid options as well. Niang started last game, played 34.8 minutes. Korkmaz only played 21 minutes off the bench. So there is still some volatility there. You know, like if Korkmaz gets hot, he can certainly cut into Niang's minutes. But overall, Niang's played well this year when he's gotten opportunities. So I think he looks like a very good value at 4,200.
What do you think about Drummond, though? Unowned.
I think it's difficult because you have Gobert, you have Ayton, you have Valanciunas, you have there was somebody else I think that I liked at center in that price range as well. You have Towns at 9,500. You have Capella. It's just difficult, I think, because there's so many solid options. It would be different if it was just like DeAndre Ayton and nobody else, for example. And yeah, it was just like, oh, I can just get low-owned Drummond and he needs to beat Ayton. But you need Drummond to beat like that entire range. And the fact that there are so many guys, like, yeah, they're getting ownership, but it's going to keep the ownership in check, you know, for the most part. It's unlikely that any of those guys run away to like 45% ownership or something. So just the sheer number of guys makes it difficult for me to get to Drummond, I think.
Maxey over Drummond in GPPs because Drummond is just center?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Anything else we need to touch on for Philly here? I don't really think so.
Yeah, I don't really think so. If good value doesn't open up between now and lock, taking some shots at Korkmaz, assuming he's going to be way lower on than Niang, makes some sense in large field tournaments. But Niang, clearly the guy that you're going to first.
I think the same situation is for Thybulle. 3,200, small forward, power forward eligibility. Played 21 minutes in his first game back with no Danny Green, no, like, there's enough minutes are going around for, I mean, he played 38 and 30 minutes the final two games before he went out for, you know, the past couple weeks.
Yeah. And they had said last game he was on a minutes limit. But yeah, I mean, if you were to get to like 26, 27 minutes here at 3,200.
Yeah. That becomes interesting, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's less like, he's obviously better on FanDuel just because of the scoring. Yeah. Like he's not likely to just go light it up and put up a great score, but, still, you know, really cheap, no ownership. This is all obviously dependent on like nobody being rolled out between now and lock for anybody.
Absolutely. He's one of those guys that has a path to fall into minutes and it wouldn't be a shock at all for him to get 28 today. Well, here goes nothing. Sacramento Kings on the DK side, Fox, Barnes, Halliburton, Heald, Holmes, 10, 20, 11, 14, 12. They're all getting some ownership. Metu is 3,900 on FanDuel, 4,300 on DraftKings. De'Aaron Fox is still just 7,300 on FanDuel. I think that's the best thing you're going to find in this game. But we have no idea who's going to start. We have no idea who's going to be in this rotation. Originally, the thought process was that Metu was going to get a 5-game test as a starter, and that would be reevaluated afterwards. Well, those 5 games are now up as he is of him being a starter, and his coach is gone. So we have no concept of like what that's going to look like. I don't think that Chimezie Metu is going to start tonight. I think the most likely scenario for me is that it might end up just being Mo Harkless again. But I don't know if that's true. What the hell do we do here?
And how many minutes does Marvin Bagley play tonight?
Anywhere between 0 and 30 is my guess.
Yeah. I don't really know. I kind of wish that Sacramento was not as favorably priced as they are, because I wish I could just look at this and say like, oh, cool, I will just not worry about them tonight and I'll see how this rotation looks, but they're cheap. So, you know, I think obviously looking to the main pieces, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Barnes, Holmes, Heald, those guys' minutes aren't going anywhere. You know, the rotations might change, but they're all playing minutes. Like Gentry's not going to come in and say, you know, the problem with this team has been De'Aaron Fox is playing too much. So yeah. I think that they're all relatively safe. I'm with you on Metu. No idea if he starts, no idea how many minutes he plays. You know, wouldn't be surprising at all if Marvin Bagley's back in the rotation playing meaningful minutes. Wouldn't be surprising if he's not. I really have no idea, but I think that's a huge question mark. Davion Mitchell at 3,600. He's another one that I feel relatively safe in his play. You know, he's at least going to be a part of this rotation. They're not going to start playing Mo Harkless instead of Davion Mitchell or something. So no. Someone that, you know, I think whether he plays 18 minutes or 28 minutes is certainly up in the air, but I think it's safe to say he's in the rotation. He's cheap. He's worth taking some tournament shots at.
Yeah. He's the type of guy where if you're a new coach coming in, you're not going to have very many issues going to like the energy defender guy, right, if you need to, and not the loafing power forward whose dad is going to bitch if he doesn't play.
Right.
Like, Mitchell's just going to be out there. Every single coach wants Davion Mitchell to be on their basketball team. I got nothing here, dude. Thank God Marvin Bagley's 4,800 on DraftKings.
I mean, that's
I don't think it matters, but like, I'm happy it's not 3,500.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess just the way I'm viewing this is I feel pretty safe on Fox, Halliburton, Barnes, Holmes, Heald, Mitchell, all maintaining very similar roles to what they've had.
Yes.
No idea what happens with Metu. No idea what happens with the backup center. No idea what happens with Bagley. So I'm comfortable going to those other guys and just pretty much projecting them to be what they have been. I will certainly be paying attention to this lineup. If Marvin Bagley starts, I will be swapping to a lot of Marvin Bagley if I can, but yeah, it's not like I'm holding a spot out, you know, waiting to see what happens there. This is the only 10 o'clock game. You know, if there's a chance that you get a Sacramento starting lineup and it's just like, shit, I don't have that many spots open. But those 6 guys I'm comfortable with. Definitely keeping an eye on the starting lineup, though, to, you know, maybe get a 7th piece in there.
Anything else you want to touch on for the new look, potentially, Sacramento Kings?
Nope.
OB96 says, hopefully no one barfs on the court tonight. Yep. Yeah, agreed. That had to be awful. The tweets that I was reading were like, it's a lot of puke. Like, apparently they had like 4 or 5 people out there with towels and mops and stuff. Like, they had a real hard time cleaning it all up. I don't know how much was in this dude's stomach, but he let it all go.
Yeah, that's rough.
Horrible. Horrible. Next to the Jazz bench, too. If you're going to do it, that's the way to do it, I guess. Anything else here for the entire slate in general?
No, I think that's it.
Deep dive later today, deeper dive as well.
Yep. And the football show in like, what, 5 minutes?
19 minutes.
Yeah.
11:30 start.
Cool.
I believe. So you'll have time to get a beer or something, I guess, at this time. Either way, guys, thank you for joining us. Please, please, please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. We got a ton going on around these parts today. You don't want to miss any of it. Win some money tonight. Good luck. Adam and I will be back again tomorrow morning for this show.